This morning we're following and continuing on our theme of more. And I think we all can relate to the fact of wanting more. I can think of it in really basic ways, the chocolate I have on the side of my car, and I just want more all the time. Are there any other people who like chocolate in this place? Anybody? Please join me. Okay. All right. If you have any chocolate, I'll be at the back. Come and help me out with my more. I need it all the time. I like to say, Lord, I need you, but there's other things that kind of cloud the way and get in the way and cause me to want more of that. We've been talking about more for a while, and we were on different elements. We looked at water, wind, and we're at fire now. Fire. And that's been kind of fun because God does some amazing things as he showed up in the form of fire representing him. And I talked about Moses. I love the story of Moses, and it was exciting and easy to talk about that because just think about God's preparation, how he works in our lives, and then how he shows up and we recognize it. And if by faith we hope, we will just go to that fire and discover him. And Pastor Kyle talked about fire and the idea of fire, the power of fire representing God, how it comes down and can overcome all things. And Elijah prayed for it, and it just swooped up the water, the wood, everything that was there, and showed his power over all other gods. So we have that fire. But there is a fire that tends to come that doesn't always represent, is not always a symbol of God's presence. And I'm sorry to say, but often that fire burns far brighter and stronger and blinds us from any other fire around us, to the extent that we are actually worshiping that fire. And we bow down to it. And we surrender to it. At the altar, we lay ourselves before it. And we're in just passionate. And it takes hold of us. And we let it loose. And it's centered from us. All of a sudden, we discover, wait a minute, that's actually not God's fire. That's something I started. I ignited that. That's within me. That's from me. That's not from God. Because as we look at other examples where it's God's presence, it's coming from God. It has nothing to do with us. And it transforms us, makes us new, and gives us light. But there's another fire that comes from within us, a passion that burns. And it could burn with anger. It could burn with so many different things that we know aren't healthy for us. And it eats us up. It actually kills us. It brings death to us and those around us. This is a fire we want to squelch, and yet we cannot do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your fire that can represent a passion that's holy and pure, and that can draw us in and allow us to experience life that we never dreamed possible, and give us energy that we never thought we could possibly have. So, Father, I thank you for that. This morning, I want to present myself to you and my tongue to you, my voice to you, my words to you. And I said what I say would be pleasing to you and would represent what you would have to say, not what I would have to say. That the meditations of my heart would be that way as well. And that as we speak, you would be praised, you would be glorified. So, God, we come wanting to glorify you by becoming Christ-like, Christ-centered, by allowing your Spirit to empower us, so that we may make you known among us, around us, and beyond us. So God, take our words now this morning, take our hearts now this morning, and form them in the way that you would have them formed. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, and by the way, Russ and Jillian, I know Jillian's not here right now, but awesome. Jillian, it's always fun to hear her read the scriptures for us, right? And to allow your daughter to do that, to speak with us and share God's word is just phenomenal, amazing, eye-opening. And it makes us think differently when we hear it from a child, I think. We actually listen to the words. Mm-hmm. So, it's a good thing. All right, so what we're going to do, I'm going to go through a couple passages, actually, this morning. We will go through James chapter 3, James chapter 3, 1 to 12, but we put 1 to 10. We'll slip on the last two verses because they are really significant. But we're going to read through that, and I want you to think about the power of the tongue, the potential of the tongue, and then what might actually be the purpose of the tongue. So we'll go with the three P's. And after that, we're going to look at another thing. But let's stay on that just for a moment. I'm going to read it through, and let's just look at it that way. So the power, potential, and purpose. And it goes like this. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that you who teach will be judged more strictly. Interesting, and I won't dive into this every time I read a verse, but in this one it is kind of significant because we have heard that before, and we understand it, I think, a lot of you. And if you haven't heard it before, it's just the idea of if you're going to teach, you better be careful what you're teaching. Teach God's word, and it's going to be applicable to you greater than to the person who hears, because you're responsible for what we say, right? It's all about the tongue, being thoughtful with what we do. So be careful with what we teach. But interesting, in this time, teachers, rabbis, were so lifted up, right? They were raised up in society. They were considered great. And so a lot of people attain for greatness, just like we do. And so they want to be teachers. And so Paul's saying, hey guys, hold on. I know you want to be teachers, but think about it this way. It actually is not a great thing because you're going to be judged by it. It's going to be something that you're going to have to do your very best with. Realize the importance of it. Even at the beginning of the passage, he's trying to grab our attention. He's trying to grab our attention to the importance of the tongue. And I think you'll see that through here. There's a really strong emphasis. So in verse 2, it says, we stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. And don't, for a moment here, don't think that this is talking about, okay, now we have to be perfect. So now I have to be paranoid about everything I say, because if I don't say it, then I'm not going to be perfect, and I need to be perfect. This scripture, although it may look that way, it's not a scripture that's trying to point us towards perfection. It's actually just trying to draw your attention to the importance of being thoughtful and realizing the power of the tongue. Nowhere in scripture does it call us to do our best to be perfect. That is just not there. Perfection comes from God, God alone. Verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are stressed by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, I'm going to get some water here, excuse me. All right. Okay, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire. It is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth we come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The power of the tongue. Now he uses some examples of it, so I don't know if as you're thinking about the power of the tongue, he talked about how the tongue, although it's small, just like using a bit in a horse or an animal, you can turn them. And of course, a horse is a powerful animal. And yet something very small is able to move it. The rudder, moving a huge ship, it seems impossible. Who would have thought that would be the case that could happen? And yet it can. And is engineered to do so. And so we can see that it can be a very powerful thing, even though it's small. For some reason, I find it interesting that God was trying to draw our attention to the fact that small things make a difference. The things that we say that we don't necessarily always think about, but just come out of our mouth, can make a difference. What is that about? When I first read that and I heard some other people talk about that, I thought, well, that's interesting. I mean, that's kind of a cool thing. And you can think about, I don't know about you, but I initially thought about my children. Sorry. But when they were younger and they were smaller. And if you have children, I watch this all the time. Whether you're a teacher, a coach, a pastor, or someone who works with families, you see this. Who runs the family? Right? It can be the smallest person, with the loudest voice or the strongest will. And it's surprising how the ship can turn, right? With the small words that happen and how our heart gets pulled and how we move. And what appears to be the leader of something, is that of a family or of an organization even, isn't necessarily. It's things that are unseen, or maybe you didn't recognize until you look closely and you realize, wow, that's amazing. How did that person or how did that voice have that kind of power? Think about that. Because that's actually what Paul's trying to draw our attention, or James is trying to draw our attention to here, is about your tongue. What power does it have? What power do you think it has? What power have you seen it wield? Because you've seen it. You've seen it happen. You know what goes down. And yet, what power have you not seen that it's had in people's lives? Look at this part where what really blows me away is verse 6. It says, the tongue also is a fire. And it just spoke about a forest fire, or just a thrashing of a whole forest. The tongue is like that also, where it's a world of evil among the parts of the body. Do you see the attention James is trying to draw to it? Can we wake up to that? Can we do that? And you may say to me, well, fine, what am I supposed to say? You know, I got to say something, and we get fired up about that too. We're fired up. Don't tell me how to use my tongue. Don't tell me how to talk. I can do it. I know what I know, and I'm going to say it now. You know, there's a variety of us how we respond to different things. We all respond differently. Some with our tongue a lot stronger. Some with our minds a lot stronger. Some we just kind of hide and go in a turtle and just kind of work it through that way, and yet it still has a great effect on us. But how you respond with your tongue is important, James is saying here. Please, can we hear this? And you're saying, well, I do hear this. Well, do you? Now we need to analyze, well, what is it that I've said to the, and let's not get over ridiculous about this, but what is it I've been saying to people in my family lately? What is it I've been saying to people in the church family lately? What is it I've been saying to people at work lately? What is it I've been saying to whoever it is? And as you start to look through that, you start to see that, well, maybe there's some truth to this. Maybe it does corrupt the whole body. Maybe it sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself on fire by hell. Have you ever been in a situation where, when I think about the effects of the tongue on me and on other people, it's often easier to think about it from a situation that maybe we've been through. I've heard someone share a situation where racially there have been slurs or words spoken against somebody, and it's words that kind of, maybe even if they don't come across that often to a person, they only have to come across once, twice, maybe three times, and it's like poison in the heart. It's like you've just been injected. And what ends up happening is people walk with it. Sometimes they become strong with it and they speak out against it. Other times they walk with it like the walking dead. Right? Inside their souls are pierced and the poison is moving amongst them and they're feeling less and less about themselves. Even though they don't want to be controlled by what's been said, they are controlled by it. I can remember a situation I had. We all have situations. But I can remember a situation I had where I was 10 years old, we were in Thunder Bay still, and love that place, but a little cold in winter. And I remember walking back from school as a 10-year-old, and I was, for some reason, I grew quicker than others, so I was a little bit bigger than others. And you would think that I wouldn't have to be afraid of anybody, but that wasn't the case. Still had this inner fear of people sometimes. And when I walked from my school, we had this one area of town that was a little rougher than others. I had friends in there, and it was great. But anyhow, we would walk through this park, and you never really knew what was going to be going on. And this is an incident that happened so quick, and yet it turned my life. So I had a young guy, a friend of mine, who was with his buddies, and peer pressure was there, and I guess they decided they were just going to come at me for some reason. And the whole gang didn't, but just this one little guy jumped on my back. You know, some of the little guys are stronger than the big guys sometimes. Jumped on my back, grabbed a piece of ice, Thunder Bay, and just smashed my face with it. And here's how I responded. We all respond differently, but here's how I responded. I just kept walking. Like, he was on my back. I was way bigger than him. He's not going to hurt me, really. And I'm a hockey player, so whatever. I can take ice. But I can't take ice, actually, I realized. And I know you're saying, well, that's not words, but that was words. Those were words. Many words were spoken to me. It just happened to be a piece of ice hit my face. And as I walked away, I kept it to myself. No one even knew about it. I just kept it to myself other than my bruise, and that was nothing. Like, we always get that playing hockey or whatever. So that was not significant. But it cut me, and people could see that. But what they didn't see is what cut on the inside, and the way it changed who I was, and caused me to close in just that much more. And it became just that much more of a person who kind of was starting to walk with death, and allowing that poison to move amongst me, and to show me that maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not all that. And I got to pull back that much more. Don't speak up. Don't do that. Don't stand up for yourself. Actually, just keep walking. Hope for the best. And then rationalize it and make it say, that's cool. I didn't fight back. I trusted God, because I was a pastor's kid too, right? I knew all the teachings. I knew all that even at that age. The tongue can be damaging, of course. It's poisonous. It brings death. So it's powerful. But it has potential. Has a lot of potential. Has a potential for good, and we've seen that also. And I've received that, and you probably received that as well. So it has potential to do what is good. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue can be used for life or death. It can be used to poison someone or to give them life. But God's purpose, of course, is to bring life. So let's look at the potential, and ultimately the purpose of our tongue is actually to give life, not death, because we know the potential is life or death, but the purpose God has, shown through his scriptures over and over, love one another, put one another first, the golden rule, all of that kind of stuff, is obviously regarding us to give life to people. So if that's the case, we have to take this tongue of ours, which has potential to have a world of evil, corruption of a whole body, the course of one's life on fire, in fact, set on fire by hell. And what do you think that means? Well, that's simply Satan is just working on us and using our weaknesses so that we will be more and more self-centered. We'll look at that fire within us rather than the fire that God has for us that wants to actually purify us and help us to move along. So let's look at this. If God's given us a purpose of giving life to people, have you all ever read the Sermon on the Mount? Have you read the Sermon on the Mount? One of the parts of the Sermon on the Mount is, well, let's look at it. If you want, I'll turn to it anyway. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Good exercise. I hear those pages flipping. Matthew chapter 5. If we go to verse 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. So actually the purpose of our tongue, the reason we're here, is to be peacemakers. Have you ever heard the story about James Elliot in Ecuador? Okay, I'm going to give you just a quick version of that, and I'm going to talk about it from his wife's perspective. It's going to be really fast, but let's do it anyhow. Jim Elliot was a group of missionaries in Ecuador who were trying to reach out to a tribe who was violent, 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 violent. And if there was ever fire that could come from a tongue, it was from those people. And everybody knew it around that area. Nobody associated with them. Nobody would come near them because it meant death, literally. Not just death from a tongue, literally. And so Jim Elliot and some of his buddies wanted to reach these people. And eventually, after a long time, they went in and it's a long process. I can't go into it. You'd want to read the book. But at any rate, they went to the people. And they felt like they had a relationship. And they had a point where they could actually come in and speak to them. And the people slaughtered them. They killed them. And so Elizabeth, his wife, had an opportunity to do something. And so over time, she had to respond to this. How's she going to respond to this? How would you respond to this if your husband or your wife went into an area and they were just going to give the gospel and it looked like they had a good relationship, everything was going to go well, and boom, they're killed? Well, that's not an easy thing to respond to. Your heart has just been torn out too. But Elizabeth Elliot decided that she was going to do something more than that. She was going to go in, and in her intent, it was to be with the people and actually forgive them. Crazy, right? Peacemakers. Let's be peacemakers. She went into these people, and here's kind of how it looked. She went into them, and as she started to had an opportunity to speak to some of them, she would look at these people, and guess what she saw? First of all, people that were shocked to see her. But secondly, people that had a finger missing, an arm missing, a foot missing, a leg missing, an eye missing. Why? People had no idea how to live. They weren't peacemakers. whenever something happened, in their wrath and in their anger, the fire burnt, and they would have to take something from that person if they did something wrong against them. So it was body parts. These people are literally walking around without body parts because they are so caught up in themselves and the fire within them. And I know this is extreme, but let's go extreme because so did James. And let's look at what can happen because the world is like that also. We may not have body parts that are missing, but in reality, it may feel like that. We can barely walk, can barely get up in the morning. And so she forgave them. And her words, her tongue, became a gift of life to a community that had no idea. They didn't have a word for forgiveness, right? They didn't know what that was. And listen to me. This is what we need to be. I'm telling you, this is what we need to be right here in our church and in our community. Literally need to be those people going and thinking about others. And this is an extreme story. But where are we at in this? How are we functioning in this world? What are we able to do? How can we use our tongue for the potential and the power that it really could be making a difference in our world? Because it could. And this is, in fact, what God died for that very purpose. And I'm going to just say two more things about this, and then we'll close up. But in this passage, when you go to Matthew, when looking at our purpose, I'm going to take two things out of this, and then we'll just pull away, and you can do what you want with it. One is, speak up. The other one is, shut up. I know, my wife isn't here, so I can say it. That's why I'm so bold this morning. But I know, speak up, shut up. First of all, speak up. We know that we're supposed to speak up. The question is, how do we speak up? Let's say if something happened to you that's devastating, and you know you've got this person because they did the wrong thing, and you're ready to go at them, and you're just going to give them full bullets, right? You're just going to guns a-blazing, as they say, right? Guns a-blazing. You're coming into this confrontation or this opportunity to work out something, and you're ready to fly. You got the words. In real time, you know how to respond, and there you go. You just lay it out. Well, okay, that's not really the way we're supposed to do it. You're actually supposed to speak out, yes, but speak out first to God. In Matthew 18, I believe, it talks about working with people and says to speak out with people, but you first of all massage it with God. You take it to God. And you spend some time with Him. Allow Him to work it out. Because if you just immediately go to your email or your Twitter account or whatever you might do, and you just say something like, perchance, oh, this person, not really identifying who they are, hashtag you know who you are, that's not very nice, right? So you have to actually allow God to work in your heart before you do something. Because you know the power of your tongue. It's a world of evil if you allow it to be taken over by Satan. But you have to be thoughtful now. We have to think about it and be spiritual and allow God to do something different. So we take it to God and we share with Him. We can rant with God. We can let it go with God. We can shout at God. We know that. You can look at any scriptures. I like this one because it's pretty powerful. We won't read too much of it, but Psalm 109. You ever read that one? David, man after God's own heart, laid this one on pretty good. Psalm 109. Don't spend too much time studying this one, but let's take a look at it anyhow, just for the sake of setting yourself free. Psalm 109 goes like this. My God, whom I praise, do not remain silent. For people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship, they accuse me. But I am a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship. Appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tired, let him be found guilty. And may his prayers condemn him. May his days be few. May another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars. And may they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all they have. And may strangers, even strangers, plunder the fruits of his labor, and may no one extend kindness. On and on it goes. On and on it goes. David ranted. He let loose. He shouted about it. We can do that. But the thing is, you do it with God. Someone shared this one thing with me once, and it was always helpful, was that as you're working with people and as you're kind of talking about something that you feel right about, and that they're wrong about. Listen, hear what they have to say, and then try these words. I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate it. Now, can I take a day or two to just think about it and pray about it and consider it? Trust me, this can save you a lot of confession, a lot of time on your knees asking forgiveness, and it also will, more importantly, can allow God the opportunity to massage out your self-righteousness, your self-centeredness, your desire to be right, and potentially allow you to come now in a completely different attitude where we walk with God. Our walk can be so enriched if we can simply take time. So yes, speak out, but first speak out to God, and then speak out to the people that we're dealing with and that we're working with. And perhaps then you'll discover that there's a whole new way that you can talk with them, and there's a whole new light you can have upon it, because God's vision is so much better than ours. Let God be a part of it. Don't go on your own. Let him walk with you. Let him change your heart. Let him make you new. We don't just need to be right. We actually need reconciliation. And we need to be able to work things out and move forward as a body. So allow God to have an opportunity with that. So speak out. Speak out to God. Speak out to one another. But then please shut up. Because the work that God does in reconciliation is miraculous. But it's not done, it wasn't inexpensive, it wasn't cheap. It was him putting himself on the cross and dying and blood being shed. And so as we take this situation and as we put it on the cross and leave it with God, in order for you to pull that back, you actually have to take that off the cross. This stuff's protected by Jesus' blood. We got blood on our hands, guys. We got blood on our hands when we do that. Let the work Jesus did be done. Let his work be done. And of course, we're not saying that you can never work through things. And we'll have moments where we have to talk about things with people who are very important to us and maybe a therapist. But people who we really need to deal with things with and allow God to make a difference. But in general, we leave it and respect the work that God has done on the cross and we move forward. And there are times where we just have to say, we just have a disagreement. We just disagree. And together we're going to lay this on the cross. Or we're going to let God work that through because we want to be reconciled. We know that in all situations, we don't necessarily have a resolution. Is Elizabeth Elliot have resolution? Of course not. Jim wasn't back raised from the dead and with her again, but she had some reconciliation, and she was able to forgive. And also, we know that as we deal with the tongue and what we've done and how to use it well, when we deal with situations, we know that we can forgive, but we may not have reconciliation. It takes one person to forgive, it takes two to have reconciliation, but we can still forgive. And you know, Jesus looks at us, and he looks at the situation, he hears us just ranting and raving and yelling and screaming and getting upset. Yeah, getting upset. And he realizes that we're upset, and then he looks down upon us and he says, I get it. I know why you're upset. I know that you've been hurt. I have the same on you. I have the same problem with you, Rob. Or I have the same problem with you, where you're sitting. And yet, you know what I did? I pour my grace upon you. I forgive you. I want to walk through it with you. Now allow me to flow through you as well, to allow my grace to pour out people around us so that we together can walk forward in the grace that he's given to us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word and for the challenge that it is to us. It is challenging. We don't always know how to do it well and how to walk forward and how to use this tongue that you've given to us. It is a gift for sure, and it has the potential and the power to bring life. So I ask that you would help me and all of us around here to be able to speak words of life. And Father, that we would not be looking to the fire within, but we would see the fire that you have burning bright that sets us free, that purifies us, makes us holy, and empowers us and impassions us. And I pray in Jesus' name.